Shotgun. Marino throws deep downfield. It is caught by Fryer. Touchdown! Yes! Touchdown, Dolphins!
With in-depth analysis on the Miami Dolphins.
The Rangers call! That's on 4th and 5!
Live from the DolphinsTalk.com studios.
In my opinion, the greatest fans in the NFL, Miami Dolphin fans.
DolphinsTalk.com daily.
All right, Miami!
Dolphins fans, and how are you today? And thank you for listening to DolphinsTalk.com Daily on this Tuesday, September the 10th. I am your host, Tom Ernesty. We have a real quick show for you this morning as we kind of dive into the day after and the morning after the debacle that took place at Hard Rock Stadium at the home opener and a loss of 59-10 to the Baltimore Ravens. And we're just going to dive head first into the news that came out on Monday. Let's first start with the news of mutiny, quote-unquote mutiny in Miami. And the eye-opening thing that happened on Monday was the interview with Minkah Fitzpatrick. And one of the things that he said that really stood out after reading a couple articles about it is, quote, sometimes we weren't put in the best position. So Minkah did not have a very good game. And you could see visibly he was frustrated. And I think, personally, in my opinion, this idea or this facet that they want to use him as a Swiss Army knife is probably the wrong idea. You know, let's have him play one position and stick to it at this point because it ain't working. He didn't look good in the preseason doing this whole thing, and he did not look good on the opening day. So diving into that a little bit more, Minkah Fitzpatrick said, you know, when asked what were the issues with the secondary, he said, quote, a lot of different things. Guys not locked in, looking at the wrong things. Sometimes we weren't put in the best position, but even still, it's up to the players to make plays. It's 100% up to the players to make the plays. But, you know, this was an alarming thing that came from Minkah Fitzpatrick. And why is it alarming? It signals the same crap that we heard last year from some of the players under Matt Burke, is that the defense just was not put in the best position to win games. Now, yesterday, I hope, was a complete anomaly. And going forward, this defense plays lights out much better than what they showed in giving up over 600 yards of offense to the Baltimore Ravens of all teams. 600 yards. So I think Minkah has, I mean, granted it's his second year, but he has the ability to say these things. And if for some reason schematically what they're doing isn't working, they got to figure out what is going to work and stick to it. And moving Minkah from a linebacker spot to slot to safety or wherever the hell he's playing is not working. Put him in the slot where he performed the best last season and let him play. That's just my opinion. Again, I'm not a defensive coordinator, but it seems he's frustrated with his role because he doesn't really have one. He's a, quote, Swiss Army knife. So it seems like he's going to he signaled that he's got some issues with Patrick Graham, maybe with Brian Flores in regards of how they're using him. They're not using him to his strengths, and they're using him everywhere. Outside of that, another thing that was very interesting on Monday, speaking to Daniel Kilgore, he was asked, and multiple teammates were asked, you know, are there players that have one foot out the door asking for trades? Daniel Kilgore said, I have no clue. That's other guys' business. My thing is, if you don't want to be here, I don't want you here. And Raekwon McMillan agreed with him and said, like he said, if they don't want to be here, it is what it is. We're going to move along with what we've got. And McMillan also posted on social media on Monday a picture of him and his teammates. He says, I will go to war with these guys every single day. So there are guys, you know, assuming that certain players are going to ask for a trade because of how bad Sunday was, maybe it's not real after all. Maybe it is. You know, we don't know who the players are, but I can tell you that Daniel Kilgore, Micah Fitzpatrick, and Raekwon McMillan are not the guys asking to be traded. So, that's the most important thing. But, you know, again, there's so much turmoil right now after a huge loss, a 7-touchdown loss at home on opening day. It's really opened a lot of eyes around the NFL, and it's a lot of bad press for the Miami Dolphins. So going into Monday as well, Brian Flores had his game day after press conference, and there are a lot of good things that I heard from him, and I'll dive into it a little bit right here. I'll go through a couple of his quotes, give you my opinions on it, but then kind of circle back to what we've experienced for the past 3 years as fans and kind of just break that all down. So after looking over the film yesterday, what was your number one overriding concern? And Brian Flores stated, there were a lot of concerns. I was disappointed in all three phases. That starts with me. I didn't think we coached well enough, we didn't play well enough, and we have a long way to go. The good thing is it's one game, and that's the approach we're going to take. We're going to come back to work, make the corrections, really all day today, and then we'll get back at it. Tomorrow we'll start prepping. Tonight and tomorrow we'll start preparing for our next opponent in New England. Then the guys will be back on Wednesday ready to go. Now, the second thing that kind of stood out on what he talked about today, was this an execution problem or was it a preparation problem or was it both? Brian Flores responded, obviously, I didn't do a good enough job getting them prepared to play. There were definitely some things we could do better as a team in all three phases. We'll get better. We'll get better. There are a lot of corrections from that game, and hopefully we can be better this week than we were last week. That's the goal. That's going to be the goal every week. I think the players understand that, and they'll work towards that. Very interesting, right? One of the other things, the bunch of the guys that were brought in recently, obviously the trade for, you know, Julian Davenport, Besamadi, in that Laremy Tunsil trade, they traded for Danny Isadora. They got Evan Boehm in a trade as well. And was asked, was it a little too soon for them to play in the new system? He responded with, they got to do a better job getting them ready to play as a coaching staff. That starts with me. Yeah, we had a lot of new faces, but again, we're not going to make excuses. We're not pointing fingers. We're not going to feel sorry for ourselves. The situation is what the situation is. We've got to make the best of the situation. We've got to play better than we did yesterday. So, what can we take out of that? Actually, I'm sorry, one more thing. The last question was asked, it seemed Micah Fitzpatrick came out of the game before most of the other defensive starters. Was he taken out for performance reasons? His response, Brian Flores' response, was, we were a rotating group. Micah was in. Rashad was in there. We plan on getting Walt in there. We had issues really across the board. Micah had some good plays. He had some bad plays. At the end of the day, we wanted to get some other guys in there. He's a good player for us. We have a lot of confidence in him, like all of us players, coaches. He's got to improve and perform better. Period. End of story. So those are just some of the quotes I took away from Brian Flores. But now let me break down why I read certain quotes. There was a common theme with every single one of those. And that theme was this. I need to do a better job getting my players ready. I need to prepare. I need to get them better prepared to play. I. He's taking the accountability for what happened on Sunday. That is what the key thing is there that I read. And that is a breath of fresh air. As a Miami Dolphins fan, you got to believe that is a breath of fresh air. That you have a head coach that took his medicine and said to everybody in the room, I am the reason why we failed. And that is a breath of fresh air, because let's go to the other side of the table, and I'm not going to beat a dead horse about it, but Manish Mehta from the New York Daily News wrapped up a press conference with Adam Gase, and this is what he wrote down in a nutshell. He's the head coach. He can do whatever he wants. Selective amnesia about the kicker mess. Wide receivers messed up. Cornerback stunk. His quarterback will be fine, not the coach's fault. Did we not hear this for 3 years? This is why it's a breath of fresh air. Brian Flores accepted the responsibility. And Gase's team lost 17-16. He blamed everybody else but himself. He had a quarterback that threw 44 times at 155 yards. And he's the play caller. Sound familiar? It should be. Because that's what we dealt with for 3 years in Miami. Brian Flores accepted the responsibility of what happened in that blowout loss. And he said he needs to get better and he needs to get the team better prepared to play on Sundays. It was his first game as a head coach. Can we give him a reprieve? I don't know. For 59-10, I don't know how much a reprieve you get. But he's a first-year head coach. It's his first game. Let's see how he does. The key thing is, let's see how we improve. You start at the very bottom. All statistical categories, you're the worst team in the NFL. The only way to go is up. And that's going to start this week in preparing for the New England Patriots. And it's going to be a big week because the Patriots are coming into town after a 33-3 victory over the Pittsburgh Steelers on opening night, where Roethlisberger couldn't do anything. They utterly dominated the Steelers. So the Patriots are coming to town next week, and the Dolphins really have to get ready for it, because if they're not ready, it could be worse than 59-10. And that's scary. And it's scary to think about. I'm going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to wrap up the show and get you prepared for the rest of the week of shows, as well as getting you ready for the New England Patriots game. I'll be back right after this.
Hey, this is Seth Levitt, who you may not know.
And OJ McDuffie.
Who you definitely know.
And we're getting ready to dive back into the Fish Tank.
That's right, Juice. Season 2 of the Fish Tank podcast kicks off on Tuesday, August 6th, with all new episodes.
And all new guests.
And most importantly, more of the best Miami Dolphins stories that you've never heard.
Exactly, Big Seth. We've got an amazing lineup of your favorite Dolphins, from guys I play with to guys I looked up to, and even some players you'll be cheering for this season.
Hey, don't forget those of us who work behind the scenes,
too. Yeah, you know I won't do that, man, because the Fish Tank takes you where no other Dolphin podcast can, with some of the funniest, wildest, and most interesting stories of what goes on with your favorite team, players, and coaches when the cameras aren't watching.
You can find the Fish Tank on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever else you do your podcast listening. So subscribe and start downloading today.
Thanks for diving in.
All right, we are back. Let's wrap up the show, and let's just kind of quickly go over some of the highlights in regards of some player grades out from Pro Football Focus. I know a lot of you don't take a lot of credence into that website, but I found some of the things that I saw on Pro Football Focus very interesting. And we're going to actually start with a couple of defensive backs. And this is alarming. As we go into next game, a team that just lit the Steelers up, Tom Brady just destroyed that secondary. Eric Rowe played 71 snaps. Every snap on defense, Eric Rowe was on the field. He accumulated a 29.8 grade from Pro Football Focus, which is terrible. Okay, if you don't know Pro Football Focus grading system, it's 0 to 100. He was 29.8 on 71 snaps. He got torched. Speaking of torch, Micah Fitzpatrick had a very bad game. I'm assuming he will bounce back in his next outing, but he was at 27.3 grade at 48 snaps. Crazy, right? We go to Jerome Baker, starting linebacker for the Dolphins, played 71 snaps. All defensive snaps, he was on the field, graded out at 50.1. He had not his best game. Christian Wilkins, first game in the NFL, 54.6. Raekwon McMillan played 22 snaps. He had a 70.4 grade. He played 16 plays in run defense, and he averaged out pretty well. So, again, we know what Raekwon's strength is stopping the run. Unfortunately, as a team, they gave up 256 yards of rushing in that game against Baltimore, but him by himself did a pretty good job for the most part. The offensive line. This is where it gets great. Your new three-year, $15 million man graded out at 49.8 at left tackle. Julian Davenport, who played at right tackle. Again, very limited time here, but he wasn't very good last year. He graded out at 45.3. Michael Dieter, a rookie guard, he played well, 69.1 grade from PFF. Danny Isadora played 49 snaps at right guard. He graded out at 48.2. And Daniel Kilgore at the center at 54.3. Outside of Dieter, it looks like the entire offensive line, as we know, was crap. They got the quarterback hit 12 times, sacked 3 times, and just could not give any daylight to any running back, whoever it was. I mean, the ghost of Walter Payton could be back in that Miami backfield, and I don't think he would sniff 20 yards rushing behind that line. Wide receiver-wise, Devontae Parker had a great game, 75.5 grade from PFF, and Preston Williams, in his debut game, had 3 catches and a touchdown. He played 21 total snaps, 16 pass plays, 5 rush plays, 81.4 grade. This kid's got to see the field a lot more than 21 snaps. Got to see it a lot more. So that little tidbit I just wanted to talk about. Now, one thing that Mike and I mentioned on the show as we were doing the wrap-up, we were going to give a player of the game, and then we went off on a tangent again, so we forgot to do that. So let me give you my player of the game for the game on Sunday, and it's a very tough decision because really nobody played lights out at all for the Miami Dolphins. But if I have to give anybody a tip of the hat as a player of the game, it's Devontae Parker. I think he had a tremendous game. That catch in double coverage after he jumped probably a second and a half really before he was supposed to, and he had so much gravity under him that he was able to get those arms up and secure that catch. He finished the day 3 catches for 70 yards. Again, there's not a lot to choose from here. Not a lot of players played well, but Devontae Parker was definitely a bright spot. Mike Gesicki definitely was a bright spot for the Miami Dolphins in the game as well. He had 3 catches himself. He's making himself more noticeable. We saw it in the preseason, and now it's starting to come through in games. He's finding a way to get open. He's doing a very good job in his role as a pass-catching tight end. We're not asking this guy to block at this point, but he did fairly well on Sunday, and I'm happy to see that, and I hope that he can continue to get better because this offense desperately needs a tight end that could really do stuff up the seam, and he is a guy that definitely can do that. And out of the 33 snaps he played, 29 of them were pass plays. So again, they have him off the field on run plays. Obviously, that may be tipping the hat, but we'll see what they can continue to do to get Mike Gesicki better. But it was great to see him make some plays for the Miami Dolphins in that horrendous loss to the Baltimore Ravens. So that's the show today. It is a very quick show. Not a lot of news coming out. No major injuries to talk about. That's pretty much it for the show at this point. You can follow us on Twitter at Dolphins Talk. You can follow me on Twitter at Dolphins Talk Tom. Be sure to check out DolphinsTalk.com every day for all the latest Miami Dolphins news and information and, of course, opinions from our great staff. And all the great podcast network shows that we do have. Same old Dolphins show, Fins Up, Fans Down, the Landon and Jeff show. I'm sure we're going to hear from them real soon. And it's just been a whirlwind for Dolphins fans over the last roughly 36 hours, 48 hours after the debacle against the Baltimore Ravens. But we move forward. Dolphins are 0-1. Slate is clean. They take on the New England Patriots this week. Be sure to check out the shows this week with Steve Masso as well as Mike. He is going to do a show this week. And also Tailgate Talk with Patrick Surtain and Aronde Gaston will drop on Friday. And, of course, Countdown to Kickoff will lead you up to kickoff on Sunday. Thanks, everybody, for listening. We are out. Have a great day. Fins up. Let's go.
Thank you for listening to the DolphinsTalk.com podcast. Be sure to visit DolphinsTalk.com every day for all of your latest Miami Dolphins news.